People, let them know how glad you are to see them here at Word of Life Church this morning. Amen. It's good to see everyone here. Don't forget, in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be going to a four service, Saturday night service. We're going to clear up some more room with our Sunday morning services by doing that. And we want to encourage you to come out there, enjoy it with us, invite people to it. We've got one new addition that'll help fill up some seats, and that's my baby boy, baby Ben. Was born last week. I think we have a picture of him here. That was about 30 seconds after he was born, something like that. So that's him right there. I tell you what, he is just precious. We are in love with baby Ben. You know, with our first two, they are 15 months apart. So when we had our little boy, our first little boy, Boston, he was only 15 months different than his sister. And so with that, you know, we're still in baby stage, and I was still at that place where you're nervous about breaking something, you know, and just it feels so small and feels so little. But now with the third one, you know, you're a pro. Everything's old hat, and I tell you what, we're just having the time of our life, and we want to thank everyone for celebrating that with us. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to look at verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand, and our ushers will be there now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. And of course, you can feel free to use the Bible app if you so choose to do that on a mobile device or iPad, whatever it may be. On the screens, if you can go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 in the Amplified, Ephesians 6, verse 18. In the Amplified on the screens, we're looking at Matthew 26 in our Bibles. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about prayer, praying big, bold prayers, believing God to do some mighty things in our world and on our behalf. And this past Tuesday, I was praying. We had our baby boy Monday. And Tuesday, I went home to wash up. I spent the night at the hospital with my wife, did Tuesday night as well. And I just felt like, you know, I needed to wash off the day. And so I went and was doing that. And while I was there, I was at the house. It was just me at the house. And I was praying and just having some alone time with God. And he really dealt with me to talk about what we're going to be talking about this morning. The title of this message is simply, Three Simple Prayers. And when he was dealing with me to talk about it, I almost was hesitant to do it, only because it's almost like it's too simple. You know, it's just too simple. I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago. I was in a Christian bookstore, and it had been a while since I've been there because we have our bookstore here, but we were trying to just waste some time before we went on to our next activity. And I was going through the bestsellers list. And it's amazing how much is not there in the sense of there's not a whole lot talking about prayer. There's not a whole lot talking about faith. It's almost like if you want to learn about those subjects, you got to go back to the classics collection and go over this one particular section. And there may be some writings there by E.M. Bounds or some of these other people that you may be able to pick up from. But as far as the contemporary Christian preachers, it seems as if some of this stuff that is incredibly simple that I grew up cutting my teeth with is being left out. And I think because of that, we are seeing people being very frustrated with prayer. And there, I hear a lot of this, well, I prayed for this, but I never saw it happen. I'm praying for this, but I am not seeing it change. And I think for all of us, we need, no matter where we are at in our Christian walk, whether we've been walking with the Lord for 10 years or whether you got born again last night, there are fundamentals concerning prayer that we all have to understand. You remember Jesus? They saw the power that was in his life. The disciples saw the power that was on Jesus. And they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, we see basically where this power is coming from. Teach us to pray. And he went on to teach them. That tells me that prayer is not automatic. You don't just wake up one day, get born again, and you're a great prayer. It tells me there's some things you need to learn about prayer. That's like driving a car. I don't care who you are. You don't just get behind the seat of the car and know what you're doing. And it's not as if driving a car is hard. In fact, for many of us in here today, it's all second nature. There are a few, though, that need to go back and get some teaching. But for most of us, driving a car, it's almost second nature now, right? And there are other things that at one time in your life, it may have been hard for you to do, but now it's second nature. But before it became second nature, there were some things you had to learn in order not to get frustrated with it. Prayer is the same way. A lot of people, when they think of prayer, they just think of prayer in general, but there are specific kinds of prayers. Did you know that there are different kinds of prayers? Did you know that if I called a prayer meeting and said, everyone right now pray, that probably all of us would pray a different kind of prayer? Not just in the sense of praying for different things, but there would be some people praying the prayer of praise and worship. There may be other people who would pray the prayer of consecration. There may be a couple of people who pray the prayer of agreement. There probably be many who would be praying what they think is the prayer of faith. There are different kinds of prayers, and they all operate differently. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be incredibly frustrated with your prayer life. There are different kinds of prayers, and they all operate a little bit differently. We see this here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Paul is writing to us, and he exhorts the church at Ephesus to pray at all times. We ought to make prayer a habit. On every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. Now notice this, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To the end that we keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Now, I want to bring out this phrase at the first part of it there in the second line, with all manner of prayer. Pray with all manner of prayer or all kinds of prayers. If I said they all went to the store, what would that imply? There was more than one. There's not just one type of prayer. Prayer is a heading under which many kinds of prayers operate. It's like sports. There are a lot of different sports out there in the world. You've got basketball, you've got football, you got t-ball, baseball, you got all these different kinds of sports, but they all operate under the heading of sports. Now, I've got a 5 and a 6-year-old, and so I'm trying to determine what kind of sports they're going to be interested in. And so instead of just enrolling them in different leagues, I said, I'm going to go to the store and just go pick up a whole bunch of stuff and see which ones they like before we pay a lot of money to get them in a league that they're miserable going to. And so with that, I went to the store and got the t-ball bat and the t-ball stand and little softballs and t-balls. And then I went and got some gloves and a soccer net and a soccer ball and got a little football. And so we go outside and we're going to play sports. Well, as soon as we get out there, I notice my little girl grabs the t-ball bat and the helmet and starts hitting the soccer ball. I mean, just hitting the soccer ball. Now, she's playing a sport, right? I mean, that's sports. It's having fun, but that's not baseball or soccer. And so I had to come to her and say, okay, with soccer, you don't hit the ball with a bat. You kick the ball with your feet. And so we're kicking the ball with her feet back and forth, and she bends down to pick it up. I say, no, no, no. In soccer, you can't use your hands unless you're the goalie. What is she learning? She's learning the rules for that sport. But then we'd switch over to another sport like basketball, and we say with this ball, with this sport, you use your hands. You don't want to use your feet. You use your hands, and then you shoot the ball to try to get it over into a basket. So going over these different sports. Now, why is it important for her to learn the rules? Because if she ever tried to go out into a league and say she wanted to do soccer, and she tried to carry a baseball bat out there, how many of you know someone would stop her and say, you can't do that. You can't use a bat in this sport. Or say she's out there playing soccer, and she picks the ball up, and she starts dribbling it down the soccer field. What are they going to do? They're going to call a foul and say, you've got the wrong sport. And if you went over to basketball and she's in a basketball league, and I mean, every time they're dribbling, she just comes by and punts the basketball. They'd kick her out of the game eventually if she kept doing that, because she may be playing sports, but she's trying to take the wrong rules into the wrong sport. Does that make sense? Prayer is the same way. You don't just wake up and learn to pray. You have to be taught. There are rules that govern each prayer. And the reason why a lot of people are not seeing results in prayer is not because they're not praying. It's because they're trying to play in one type of prayer, but they don't know the rules, and they're carrying over rules from other prayers, and it's nullifying their results just like in sports. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of prayers, and if we were going to teach you all the different kinds of prayers, we could set up shop from now until the end of the year and talk about the prayer of intercession and the prayer of supplication and what it means to pray in the Spirit. We could go through all these different kinds of prayers, but what I'm going to give you today is three simple ones, three simple prayers. And as a believer, as a Christian, these are prayers that you build your prayer life off of. All of you should know the rules for these prayers, and all of you should pray these prayers literally daily. All of you should pray, can pray these prayers daily. First prayer is found in Matthew. It's the prayer of consecration. Let's talk about it. Matthew chapter 26, and let's look here in verse 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray." Verse 37. "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Verse 38. "Then he said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Here you see the prayer of consecration. He keeps going here in verse 40, "And he cometh unto his disciples, and he finds them asleep, and he says unto Peter," what's going on? "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed." Now notice, second time, if you have a pen or a highlighter, you can underline that. "He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Verse 43, "And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again." And here you can underline this, highlight this. "And prayed the third time, saying the same words." What words? "Not my will be done, but your will be done." This is the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration is probably one of my favorite prayers. It's literally the prayer that I try to start out my day with every morning. It's really a prayer of worship. It's a prayer that means a lot to God. I'll put it to you this way. I was going to pick up some things for my wife a couple of days ago. She had just had the baby. And of course, when a lady is pregnant, really you should do this for your lady all the time, husbands. But when they say they want it, you ought to drop things and make it happen. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a blizzard. It doesn't matter if it's crystals. You make it happen. It doesn't matter if you don't want to eat crystal. You make it happen. You make it happen for your lady. And so anyway, she said something. And I went up to go do it. And she just wasn't asking me to do it. She just said, "Man, I'm really craving such and such," and I take that as a personal command. So I'm going to go do it. And so she's laughing at me. She says, "Stop it. I just said that. Please don't go. I'd rather have you here." I said, "No, I'm going to go get it for her." Anyway, I was thinking about that, and the Lord really dealt with me. This is love. All right. And he gave me this phrase, and I thought it was good. He said, "It's one thing to live around somebody. It's a whole nother thing to live for them." You can live around your kids, but never live for them. You can live around your spouse, but never live for them. you can live for work and live around your family. Meaning you're around them, they're in your vicinity, they're in your presence, but you're putting off enjoying them until something else. You never lay down your will to do their will. Well, I'll do that tomorrow. We'll go on vacation next year. I know I said I'll make the game, but I'll make it next week. That's living around them and not for them. And it's very easy to live that way. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, meaning they care about pleasing themselves more than they care about pleasing anything else. This happens with God a lot. You see a lot of people living around God. They got the Bible on the nightstand. They got the church attendance, got the stars on the Sunday school roll call. I mean, they live around Christ, man. I mean, they live around Christ. They dot the spiritual I's and cross the spiritual T's. It's one thing to live around them. It's a whole other thing to say, I want to live for you. And in the scriptures, you see a lot of for him scriptures, to him scriptures. I'm to live for him. That I'm not supposed to be just living any way I want. I'm to live for him. I'm to live unto him. In the prayer of consecration, the reason why we should start our day off and the reason why this is a prayer we pray multiple times, this is not just a prayer you pray every once in a while. Jesus prayed this prayer three consecutive times in the same day. We should pray this prayer as many times as we can think about it. It's saying, God, I want to live for you. I don't want to just play religious games. I want to live for you. And a lot of people wait to pray that prayer when their life's really a mess and they need to rededicate their life. What helps is when you don't need to rededicate your life, but you're praying the prayer anyway. I want to live for you. I don't want to just do my will, Lord. I want to do your will. That's what Jesus was saying here. In this moment, he's facing the cross and his flesh, it does not want to do this. While he loves mankind, his flesh is facing terrible agony. The stripes on his back, the mockery, the being beat in the face, the crown of thorns on his head, the spear thrust into his side. That's just the physical stuff. Spiritually, he's about to be made sin. Spiritually, the Father's about to turn his back from him. And that's the part that really got to Jesus. He's saying, if there is any other way, I don't want to do this, but Lord, not my will be done. I want your will to be done. See, friends, our life is to be lived for him. And as a believer, when we start our day and continue it saying, Lord, and we say this a lot lately, but I just feel impressed. Keep saying it. My hands, Lord, they're not my hands, they're your hands. I don't want them just doing anything. I want them doing what you want them to do. My words, they're not just my words, Lord. They're for you. Let my words minister grace, life, and let them be the salt of the earth. My eyes, they're not my eyes. They're your eyes, Lord. They're not just going to watch anything. They're not just going to see anything. They're your eyes. I give my eyes to you. My feet, they're not my feet. They don't just go where I want them to go. Lord, my feet are your feet. You direct my path. If you want me to walk away from something, I'll walk away from it. My life is not my own. What is that? That's worship. That's saying, I don't just want to live around you. I want to live for you. That's your heart saying, Lord, I don't want to just lift my hands and surrender, but never really give you my life. It's your word saying, I want to live for you. Now, when you do this, you're going to see two blessings come. You're going to see one, a natural blessing. When Jesus did this, God exalted him. He lifted him up, gave him a name above every other name. We see God came in and blessed Jesus. And you'll see the same thing in your life. I was thinking about my little son. I was holding him last night, and I had him in a blanket, and all the relatives are out of the house at this point. And you love family, but I probably held my son maybe like 2 hours out of 5 days because everyone keeps taking him from you. So with that, I was holding him last night, and I was there with him, and looking down at him. I thought, as long as you're in my hands, you got it made. You got it made. You're going to have all the clothes you need. You're going to have all the food you need. As long as you're with me, you've got it made. As long as you're in my hands, buddy, you have nothing to worry about. But I was thinking, if someone came and took him from me, if someone just came and took him from me, like in the night someone broke in the house and took him from me, I could want God's best for him. I could desire for him to be blessed. I could desire for him to be fed. I could desire for him to be clothed, right? But I couldn't guarantee it. I could want it for him, but there's no guarantees. Why? He's not in my hands. And that's what the prayer of consecration is all about. See, there are a lot of people who are Christians, but they're still not in God's hands. It's like the prodigal son. They're a child, but they're living outside of his house. As long as the prodigal son was in the house, the father could guarantee him a good life. Guarantee. As long as you're with me, it's a guarantee. But if you walk away from me, I could want for you to be fed. I could want for you not to be in a pigsty, but I can't guarantee it. But when he came home, the blessings kicked back in. Guarantees happen there. There are a lot of promises in the Word of God that God has guaranteed us. But when we're living outside of a consecrated life, he can't guarantee it. Oh, but when you get in his hands and you say, Lord, I want to live for you, his power kicks over into your life. I was listening to Brother Hagin. Man, I cut my teeth on, spiritually speaking, and grew up listening to him. We vacationed around his meetings. My family, just that's what we did for summer vacation. We're going to camp meeting. Woo-hoo. So, but with that, I can remember him saying something. He was saying around the early 80s, he was praying. And he was telling the Lord, it just seems as if the power of God is not as strong as it used to be. Just seems as if it's not as great as it used to be. The miracles aren't as great as they used to be. And he's praying along these lines, and the Lord drops this in his heart, and he tells him, yeah, the power's not as great as it used to be. The miracles aren't as great as they used to be. And it's because the consecration is not as great as it used to be. And he said, you know what, Lord, you're right. My life, it's not to be lived around Christ, it's to be lived for him. And when I'm living for him, I'm in his hands, and it's amazing how deep he can take my life. But not only does it cause him to be able to work for you naturally, but it also blesses you spiritually. That all of a sudden your life begins to look like his life. Just by praying this simple prayer, yes. Remember what we said last week? Sometimes you're praying and the power of God is at work on your life and you don't even feel it. When you pray the prayer of consecration consistently, a grace comes in your life to help you be who God has created you to be. I was watching this TV show the other day, and really I wasn't watching it. It was just playing kind of background noise. And I've been reading a book for a couple of hours. It was the next program up. And anyway, on the program, the lady was on there talking, and she was saying that her mother gave her this particular coin. And the coin, on the coin, it had two faces. One face looked one way, and another face looked the other way, but it was the same person with two faces. And it was her mother's way of teaching her that when you meet people, they probably have two faces. There's a side they're showing you now, but there's probably another side you don't see. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that true? A lot of people have two faces. I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, you're frustrated with your kids. You're telling them, I can't believe you. I mean, you're yelling out a little bit. And then the phone rings, you pick it up. Hello? I mean, you're the sweetest person. I mean, it was like you just pulled cookies out of the oven and Pillsbury's your best friend and Betty Crocker's your middle name. I mean, it's like you're an all-star. Well, what is that? They're seeing one side, but then these other people here are seeing the other side. And that's just a funny example, but it's the truth. You know, a lot of people have two faces. They see this side at work, but they see this side at home. They see this side at church, but they see this side there. And the friends see this side, but the wife sees this side. A lot of people have two faces. Now, thank God for people who have one face. Thank God for that. Even if they're crazy. I mean, thank God. You know it. You know they're crazy. You know that, but thank God for the one-faced people. Now, God's desire for our life is we become one-faced. And that face looks like his. We've been molded and we've been crafted into his image. It doesn't happen overnight, but when you come and you lay your life into his arms and say, God, I want you to be all that you can be. Not my will be done. I want your will to be done. And you pray that prayer as much as you can. His power goes to work. It's the prayer of consecration. It's not a long prayer. It's a very simple prayer. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. Help me live for you and not just around you. That's the first simple prayer. You should pray it every day. But here's the second simple prayer. It's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Go to the book of Mark. You're in Matthew. Go over to Mark. Mark chapter 11. And let's look here in verse 22. On the screens, if you can go to John chapter 15 and verse 7. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 in our Bibles. John chapter 15 and verse 7 on the screens. And Mark 11, verse 22, all the way through verse 24, you're going to see the prayer of faith and how it operates. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, that means me, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, or because of this principle, I say unto you, unto me, unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When you pray, believe, you don't just get to pick any old thing you want to believe. Believe that you, what? Receive them, have them, or possessor of them when you pray. Let's read it again. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe what? That you receive them and you shall have them. The prayer of faith, it's just like a prayer, like the prayer of consecration, just like soccer is a sport and basketball is a sport, but it's played by a different set of rules. With the prayer of consecration, you're asking God to do a work in your life. You're giving your life over to Christ. You pray that prayer as many times as you want. With the prayer of faith, this is where you're petitioning God to do something, to go to work on something. You would pray the prayer of faith if you were walking into a business meeting and you desired wisdom. You pray the prayer of faith and ask God for wisdom. If you were not feeling well in your body or someone was not feeling well, you would pray the prayer of faith for them. If you had something that needed to be fixed in your marriage or something that needed to be fixed in a financial situation, that is where you pray the prayer of faith. But it operates differently than the prayer of consecration. The prayer of faith, you pray one time. One time. You pray the prayer of faith one time. Notice how the prayer of faith works. Let's read it again, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, do what? Believe that you what? Receive them when? Not when you get them. Not when you see the situation change. Not when you see the symptoms leave. Not when you see the money come in. You believe you receive when you pray. I mean, when you say amen, you believe it's a done deal. Now, question, if you believe it's a done deal, why would you pray again? You believe you receive when? When you pray, not when you get it, not when you see it change, when you pray, when you're praying over that symptom and you're asking God to heal it, you don't just come back and pray again. No, you believed you received, not when the symptom left, but when you... I'll give you an example. About a year ago, I was doing some premarital counseling, and the couple, they were in good shape. I could just tell they were under a lot of stress in their home, and those things happened, particularly financially. Things hadn't worked out for them the way that they had wanted, and it was causing an effect in their marriage. And so anyway, we were helping them out with some of those things. But while I was sitting there, I felt impressed in my heart to give them money to go out on a date. And so I told him, I said, guys, I just feel like one thing that would help is if you just had a date. I mean, if you just had a date, I think it would really help you. And so I said, stay here, and I'm going to go to the ATM, and I'm going to get some money, and I want to send you guys on a date. Now, don't sign up for premarital counseling tomorrow, because it doesn't work that way. We've never done it since. I can just see it tomorrow. Phone ringing off the hook. We want some premarital counseling. So, but anyway, I felt impressed to do that. Now, what if in that situation I said that? I said, I want to, it is my will for you to go on a date. I desire for this to be done for you. and I'm going to go to the ATM. What if I got up from the chair and they said, please, pastor, send us on a date. Please. I said, well, I am. Just hold on. I'm going to go to the ATM. What if I walked up to the door and I opened up the door, go out of my office, and they said, pastor, please, please go get us some money to send us on a date. Hold on. I will. Just give me a second. I'll be right back. What if I went to the car and they came running out to the car and were banging on the glass saying, please, Pastor Joe, please send me on a date. I'm going. That's why I am in the car. Wouldn't that be your response? What would that reveal about them? They had no faith in me. No faith in me to honor my word. No faith in me to do what I said I would do. Yet how many people pray, and they're supposedly praying the prayer of faith. Lord, please heal this person. Please pay the bills. And God said, wait, wait, wait. The prayer of faith is called the prayer of faith for a reason. You have faith in me. With the prayer of consecration, you are asking God, let your will be done. I want to know your will. With the prayer of faith, you already know his will. With the prayer of faith, you do not end it with, Lord, if it be thy will, meaning, Lord, if you want to do this. Well, somebody said, well, didn't Jesus pray? Didn't Jesus teach us to pray, Lord, if it be thy will? Yes, with one particular kind of prayer. Jesus prayed, Lord, if it be thy will. You know how many times? In one particular passage, you just read it in the book of Matthew. It was the prayer of consecration. With the prayer of faith, you don't come back and end that prayer with that. You come into the prayer of faith knowing what the will of God is. For instance, if you know someone who's not feeling well, if your body's not feeling well, you don't just walk in and ask God to pray and pray and ask God to heal you. You come into prayer knowing the will of God. You come and you bring scriptures before him. And this is where a lot of people miss it with the prayer of faith. John chapter 15 and verse 7, let's look at this here. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Notice that it's not according just to God's will, it's also according to your will. And the reason why you can ask what you will and it be given to you is because his words are abiding in you, meaning your will is in alignment with his. There are some things you don't have to ask God what his will is on. You don't have to ask God, is this your will for this? Is this your will for that? He's already told us his will in his word. And we are to be diligent enough to find out what his will is and go to him in faith, believing him to honor his word. When you pray that prayer, you pray it one time. One time. For instance, with healing, you could pull out any number of scriptures. I've got four here. 1 Peter 2:24. He says, by his stripes you were healed. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. In Matthew 8, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, a leper came unto to Jesus and said, Lord, I know you're able to heal me, but what I don't know is if you will. I'm not sure if you will. And Jesus said, I will come near. And he stretched forth his hand and he healed him, proving it's God's will to heal. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. We already know God's will for that. You don't have to pray, Lord, if it be thy will for that. You already know God's will. So what do? You take his will to him and say, Lord, this is not me just asking anything I want. I'm asking according to your will. And I'm believing you will watch over your word to perform it. Here's my evidence. I'm going to plead my case. You said in your word it's your will to heal. And I thank you, Lord, your power to heal goes into operation in my life right now in Jesus' name. That's the prayer of faith. You're believing for God to change something. You're not asking him what his will is. You come into the prayer of faith knowing what his will is. So somebody says, well, after I pray the prayer of faith, do I never pray again about that situation? No, you never pray the prayer of faith again about it. You move on to the third simple prayer, which is the prayer of thanksgiving. You've got the prayer of consecration. You got the prayer of faith. And then you have the prayer of thanksgiving. In Mark 11, verse 24, we see the prayer of faith here. Notice what he says here. This is Jesus talking about receiving answers to prayer. Let's read it again. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you what? Receive them, and you shall have them." Going back to the counseling appointment, and this is what happened, this is what should happen. I tell them, I'm going to go to the ATM, and I'm going to get some money, I'm going to send you on a date. What is the appropriate response? Thank you. If you believe I'm going to honor my word, if you believe that I have just not given you a bald-faced lie, what is the appropriate response? Thank you. You count me faithful to be a man of my word. If they were to sit there and ask me over and over again, please, please, please go do it, please go do it, they don't judge me as being faithful. They judge my word as being weak, and it reveals their faith in me. But you know what they did? Oh, thank you. I mean, with tears coming down their cheeks. Thank you, Pastor Joel. Now, I hadn't got the money yet. I hadn't even got up from the seat. All they have is my word, my will on the matter. But yet already they are giving thanks because they believe I will watch over my word to perform it. There are some times when you pray the prayer of faith where it looks like the situation did not change. It doesn't mean you go back and pray the prayer of faith again. When you prayed the prayer of faith the first time, you believed, you received when you prayed. So the only thing left to do now is give thanks. The only thing left to do is say, thank you, Lord, you're so faithful to watch over your word. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, your healing power is working in this body. Thank you, Lord, your power is working in this marriage. Thank you, Lord, your power is working on this financial situation. The prayer of thanksgiving. I'll close with this story. Brother Hagin, who I learned prayer and a lot of other things from, I went to a crusade years ago in Nanuet, New York, and they were up there holding a crusade meeting, and he felt impressed during the service to have people come down and be prayed for healing. And he said that night the power of God was particularly strong. And remember what we said a couple of weeks ago? I mean, sometimes God answers by fire. I mean, he answers by fire. And on that night, God was answering by fire. There were four people who were in wheelchairs. Three of them got up and walked right then and right there. I mean, they were seeing dramatic signs, wonders, and miracles. Just sudden, instant, quick things. And there was a family, it looked like a wife and a father, a wife and a husband standing by each other, and they had a little baby in their hands. And he came up to the parents, he asked them what they wanted prayer for, and they said, we want you to pray for our son. And when he looked down at the son, he saw that the son had club feet. And so he took those little feet in his hands and petitioned God, what's he doing? This is not the time to pray the prayer of consecration. It's not the time to pray the prayer of intercession. This is the time to pray the prayer of faith. I want God to intervene on behalf of these feet. And so he held those little feet in his hands and he prayed and he said he could feel the power of God go into those feet. But when he opened up his eyes, it looked like the feet hadn't changed. So he grabbed a hold of the feet again and he began to switch over the prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, the power of God is in these feet. Opened his eyes, nothing. He looked up at the parents and he said this. He said, if it helps you at all, I felt just as much power go into these feet as I did those wheelchairs, those people who got out of those wheelchairs, the same power. He said, now here's what I want you to do. And this is the first time he ever used this phrase. I want you to keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Faith, it's got a switch to it. You can turn it on, you can turn it off. Doubt, worry, unbelief, being negative, complaining, it turns the switch of faith off. Turn the switch of faith on, thanksgiving, praise, a voice of victory, quotation of the word of God, it turns the switch of faith on. He told him, I want you to keep the switch of faith turned on. Okay, great, how do you do that? And so he told him, I love this. He said, every time you look at those feet and they're still clubbed, I want you to say out of your mouth, thank you, Lord, the power of God is at work in those feet. It's working to produce a healing and a cure, and those feet will work in the 100% perfection they were designed and created to work in. Say it every time. He said, when you're sitting at work and the thought comes to your mind, because the enemy, he'll do this all the time, that your child's going to grow up with club feet. Every time he brings that thought to your mind, say out of your mouth, you pray the prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. The healing power of God went into those feet, and that power's working. It's working to produce a healing and a cure. He said, when you put them to bed at night, you look down at those feet and they're still clubbed. Out of your mouth, say, thank you, Lord. The healing power of God is working in these feet. Pray the prayer of thanksgiving. So he went on to the next person. There was a line of people. And a couple of weeks later, he was in a traveling meeting. A couple of weeks later, he went over to another city. And it was a city he was based out of, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And these people came in to see him. And when they came in to see him, they asked to have an appointment with him. And he recognized who they were. And so they came down there and saw him. And they said, we want you to know we did what you told us to do. That we took him home that night and put him in his crib. And those feet were still clubbed. And so he said, thank you, Lord. The healing power of God is working in those feet, working to produce a healing and a cure. We woke up the next morning. They were still clubbed. Went to work, and those thoughts came of he's going to grow up without club feet. Maybe this is not working. And we lifted up our voice with the prayer of thanksgiving, said, no, 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 devil, thank you, Lord. The healing power of God is at work in those feet. It's working to produce a healing and a cure. He said, we did this for a couple of weeks. Nothing happened. Then for a few more days, nothing happened. He said, and one morning, we went to go get him out of his crib, and we picked him up, and he had perfect feet. They showed him the feet to him, and they begin to rejoice and give thanks. Friends, there's time where we say either God really said what he said or he was lying. And if he was lying about Mark chapter 11, verse 24, what else would he be lying about? It's time we as preachers had enough confidence in the word of God to preach it just like Jesus said it, because he wasn't compromising on it or watering it down, and neither should we. I'm telling you, it works. Somebody said, I prayed and it didn't work. I prayed and it didn't work. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have the things that you're praying for. Believe that you receive when you pray. You know what that tells me? There are going to be some times when you pray, you don't see any results. Because if you saw the results immediately, you wouldn't have to believe you received when you prayed. What was Mark chapter 11, verse 24 written in context of? Written in context of, anyone know it? I heard someone say, the fig tree. Remember the fig tree? Jesus came to the fig tree, cursed it, said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter. Did anything happen to the fig tree? Nothing. No fruit fell off, no vines withered up. He comes back the next day, and the fig tree has dried up from the roots, meaning it was working in the unseen first before it moved over to the seen. Meaning when you pray, that prayer immediately goes to work. It's like sometimes it's working in the unseen and then it moves over into the seen. But when you pray, God begins to go to work. Don't turn the switch of faith off and nullify your miracle. Keep the switch of faith turned on with thanksgiving and praise and watch God move and work on your behalf. Amen. Let's pray before we end the service. Father, we come before you today. Oh, we love you, Lord, so much, and we thank you for the power of God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we will keep the switch of faith turned on, that we will pray these three simple prayers, the prayer of consecration, the prayer of faith, and the prayer of thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, that we lift up our voice and we believe to see you go to work on our behalf. Bless these people, Lord. Draw them closer to each other. Make their families strong and healthy. Bless these people's families, Lord. Bless them on the job. Bless them on the work week. Let them have a fantastic, wonderful, empowered week. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.